book of Proverbs, chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, we'll read verse 18 through verse 22. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. The theme, the main thought, or the focus of these verses we've just read is found in verse number 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. In all of these verses, I believe you can find some reference to the faithful man, to faithfulness. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. When I look at the word walketh, I see the thought of a faithful man, one who is journeying, one who is taking the steps in the right direction. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty. I see faithfulness there. Because the lazy man won't till his land. He'll be busy not being busy. But the faithful man will till his land, will plant a crop, will bring forth harvest. A faithful man shall abound with blessings in relationship to his faithfulness. And the blessings of God upon him in relationship to his faithfulness. But he that maketh haste, instead of being faithful and just keep on keeping on, he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. The faithful man. The subject this morning in our message is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Give you a couple things I've come across in relationship to the subject. As far as maybe definition is concerned, trying to express the point of our message. First thing says, to be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, and unwavering. Read it again. To be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, unwavering. And the Bible speaks of this type of faithfulness in four ways: as an attribute of God, as a positive characteristic of some people, as a characteristic that many people lack, or as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Another item I came up with I want to read speaks thusly. Scripture speaks often of God's faithfulness. Over and over we learn that when God says he will do something, he does it. When he says something will happen, it happens. This is true for the past, the present, and the future. If this were not the case, if God were unfaithful even once, he would not be God, and we could not rely on any of his promises. But as it is, not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave. 1 Kings chapter 8. Third item in relationship to faithfulness. Faithfulness is defined as the quality of being loyal and reliable. Faithfulness is defined as the quality of being loyal and reliable. I think the first definition, first explanation of the word is the one we will refer to most often in our message. To be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, and unwavering. Are you a faithful person? Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to the truths of God's word? Are you faithful to the convictions that he has given you? Are you reliable? Are you steadfast? Are you unwavering? To put it in another term, do you keep on keeping on? Or do you halt? Or do you stop? Or do you delay? Or do you change tracks? We speak of faithfulness, we're speaking of being a reliable, steadfast, unwavering individual, particularly in the things of God. And a few weeks ago, I shouldn't tell you this, it'll get misconstrued and repeated incorrectly, and I'll be accused of all manner of things. But about 5 o'clock one morning, I was sitting in my chair and I'd had news on already. And I was changing channels and there is news on that early, in case you don't know that. The Toledo channels, I think, begin at 4:30. That's not counting the other kind of news channels that are available. And I don't listen to women preachers. Got no use for women preachers, and women preachers are unscriptural. The Bible's pretty plain on that. But I came across a channel where there was this woman preacher on there, and I thought, I'll give her a minute. See what she has to say. And she was talking about this great ministry of hers and how she's often asked about is going to these conferences and speaking to these thousands of people, is it exciting? And she said basically she's not excited anymore. Once you've done it a couple hundred times, you lose the excitement. It's not about excitement, but it's about being faithful to the calling of God upon your life. I won't get into all that was wrong with this particular woman or point out to the fact that I was only there about a minute. But in her words, she proved the point, the old adage, even a broken clock is right twice a week or twice a day. It's not about excitement. It's about faithfulness. All that we do that's pleasing to the Lord isn't about the momentary satisfaction of excitement or drama. But where is the thing that pleases God is in faithfulness. Faithfulness. The Lord got me thinking about that subject of faithfulness. A faithful man, a faithful woman, a faithful child is pleasing to God. And again, by faithful, I mean a reliable, steadfast, unwavering individual who keeps on keeping on, keeps on believing, keeps on practicing, no matter how difficult, no matter how hard, no matter how alone you may feel. God loves a faithful individual, the one who is reliable, steadfast, and unwavering, unchanging. One that keeps on keeping on, though all others flee the sinking ship. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 42 through 44. Chapter 12 of Luke, verse 42. Christ says, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." Familiar passage of Scripture. But a question is asked, who then is the faithful servant? Who then is the faithful and wise servant? The answer is in verse number 43, the one who, when the Lord returns, finds the servant doing. Who finds the servant still doing. How do we identify a faithful servant? It's the one who the Lord finds still doing, unchanging, determined. The faithful and wise steward who the Lord is going to exalt and make ruler over whatever he decides to give authority over them to. Blessed is the servant who the Lord finds doing. The key to the word faithful is in the doing. Not a stopping, not a ceasing, but a continuing is what faithfulness is all about. In chapter 16, verse 10 through 13, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," money, things of the world, "who will commit to your trust the true riches," spiritual things? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." If we're faithful over the least, if we're faithful over the little, the principle is, then we'll be faithful over the greater. If we're faithful over the things that the Lord gives us of the world, and we're faithful over them, he will give us spiritual blessings. But the thought is a blessing pronounced upon those that are faithful. Those that are faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Faithfulness is to be reliable, steadfast, unwavering, unchanging, uncompromising, persistent, consistent. Being faithful means we keep on keeping on. And we hope to have the Lord find us still keeping on when He returns for us one day to take us to glory. Now go with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. You see the subject of faithfulness throughout this introduction to the letter of the to the church at Colossae. And he says in verse number 2 that he's writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. He's not writing to two different groups. That's speaking of one group. He's speaking to the saints. He's speaking to the faithful ones at Colossae. Or he's speaking to the church of the Colossians. And they're identified as the faithful. This church is identified as a faithful church. The members of this church are described as a faithful group of people, a reliable, a steadfast, and unwavering group of people. He speaks about, since we heard of your faith, and your love, and your hope, we give thanks to find you faithful, continuing. You find same kind of language in the introduction of the book of Ephesians. They're called the faithful. And we have to hasten along, but the point I want to make, first of all, is church life is not about the exciting. Church life isn't about the excitement that brought the salvation of souls and brought us together as a church and confirmed us as a body of Christ. Those are wonderful things. But that's not what Christian life, that's not what church life is all about. Church life is about faithfulness. Continuing. Church life is by evidencing ourselves as members of one of the Lord's churches as reliable, steadfast, and unwavering. Church life is defined by our faithfulness to God, our faithfulness to the things of God, our faithfulness to one another, our faithfulness to the truth that He's given us to be the pillar and ground of. Success in a church can be traced to faithfulness. Not the exciting, not the things that are more pleasing to the flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians, the seventh chapter, verse 1-4. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. This speaks of marriage. This speaks of a man and a wife. And it says, let the husband render unto the wife the due benevolence. Let the wife render to the husband the due benevolence. I believe the instruction being given here is, let the husband and the wife be faithful one to another. The glory of a marriage is not about the wedding. That's just a festive occasion. The glory of a marriage is not found in the honeymoon. Because we all know, the honeymoon always ends. The glory in a marriage is found in the faithfulness, the day in, the day out, keeping on, keeping on, of the husband and the wife. Every single day, routine of going to the grindstone, to be faithful to your vows and promises, to provide for those of your relation that you have a responsibility towards. The real honor, the real glory in a marriage is not found in the exciting moments, but found in the faithfulness of the day-by-day moments. Marriage is hard. Marriage is difficult. You have two people with their own ways and their own thoughts and their own minds, and when you get two people together in constant close proximity to each other, it can be interesting. But the glory is not in the celebrating and not in the exciting moments. But marriage is about the day in and day out. Being true to your vows, being true to your spouse. It's being unceasing. It's about being reliable. It's about being steadfast. It's about being unwavering. Give to the wife the due benevolence. Give to the husband the due benevolence. Look over to 1 Timothy. This is going to be a stretch, but I see it. The way the Lord showed it to me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're not going to read all this passage that I originally had written down. Verse number 1. Of 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying. The word true there actually means faithful. The Bible has that expression a few times in its pages. This is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And then on goes the list of qualifications for somebody who desires the office of a bishop or pastor. These are the qualifications. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. It goes into the office of a deacon. And the requirements of a deacon are given. And you notice down way as we speed through here, verse number 11. Even so must their wives, the wives of deacons, I think the context would support the wives of those who desire the office of a bishop. They have their qualifications. They must be faithful in those qualifications and in keeping and meeting those qualifications. They must be faithful in their responsibilities to their spouses, to their families, to their children. They must be faithful to their marriage. Then in verse number 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. This is a faithful saying. A man desires the office of a bishop or a deacon. He desires a good thing. He must meet the qualifications. And those qualifications are just standards that all God's people are supposed to meet. Amen. Qualifications of a minister, the qualifications of a deacon are not just for them, but they're to be the standards that all God's people are exemplified by and are displayed by. And a man has a particular responsibility in the ministry to see to the needs of his wife, to keep his wedding vows and promises. Likewise, the wife of the pastor, the wife of a deacon, must be faithful in all things. And that's not just the spiritual matters, but faithful in all things. It's about faithfulness. And it's about a church being faithful, where God's going to find His glory and get His glory. It's about a man and a wife being faithful, not in their celebrations, not in their momentary times of joy. But God's going to be glorified by the faithfulness that man displays towards his love, and his love displays towards him. Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So I left you on the Isle of Crete to set things in order in the various churches that were scattered around the island, and for you to ordain men to pastor those, to oversee those various churches. You're to ordain them, I left you there to ordain them, according as I appointed thee. Then he goes into the qualifications again of an elder. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruliness, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, etc., etc., etc. Did you catch a phrase there in Verse number 6 that connects with our message today. An elder that's going to be ordained to be a pastor must not only be blameless, the husband of one wife, one at a time, no, one wife. Yeah, one at a time, I guess, would be all right. But you can't remarry without death or an act of God. But if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. The glory of a child is not found in the momentary moments of excitement or joy that maybe are a part of their life or are raising them. But the joy of a child is found in a faithful child. In a faithful child, one who is reliable, one who is steadfast, one who is unwavering. Just as a man is towards his wife and his wife is towards her husband, children are called to faithfulness. Now we could debate all night long, I guess, about what's the age of the children spoken of. Because it talks about riot or unruliness. Children that are not accused of riot or unruliness. So that obviously means they're of some age, some ability. But the Lord, I believe, leaves it vague. He's not specific in the age. Because he wants us to understand that all children are judged by their faithfulness. Faithfulness to the things of God, the ways of God. Faithfulness to their parents. Faithful to the standards and the convictions of their home. A few weeks ago, it's more than a few weeks ago, we preached on servitude. Husbands are to serve their wives, wives are to serve their husbands, and children are to serve their parents and bosses, and so we covered all the bases there. We're to serve one another as though we're serving Christ. We're to see Christ. But this is a different thought, not just talking about our serving Christ, but our being faithful. Children, whatever your age, however old you ever get, you have a responsibility to display the faithfulness that has been displayed by your parents. And God is glorified not by the exciting and the momentary glimpses of glory, but God is glorified by the faithful child. By the faithful child. Are you a faithful child? In the book of 2 Timothy, Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Paul, by inspiration, writing to younger preacher Timothy, says, "Thou therefore, my son in the Lord, my son spiritually, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, you endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Paul charges Timothy to charge some. Who are those that Timothy is charged with charging? Timothy is charged with charging faithful men. That means they have to be proven men. They have to be evidenced as faithful. They have to be reliable. They have to have evidenced themselves as steadfast. They have to demonstrate that they are unwavering in the things, the teachings, and the principles of God's Word. The things that thou hast heard, you heard of me. And I've committed it to you, now you commit it to faithful men. There's a great glory in being a faithful individual. There's a great glory in being a faithful church. There's a great glory in being a faithful husband, a faithful wife, a faithful child. There's great glory in being a faithful individual that can have things entrusted to them. There's great glory in being a reliable, steadfast, unwavering individual that can be entrusted with greater responsibility. It goes back to that thought of, if you're faithful in little things, then you'll be faithful in big things. If you're faithful in ungodly mammon, the things of the world, money, then God will commit to your keeping spiritual things. But it's to the faithful one. Everything's instantaneous these days. Everything's microwave. Everything's now. But faithfulness is not an immediate thing. It's a digging in and a keeping on. It's a being proven faithful. And by being proven faithful, you're being committed. Greater responsibility, greater privilege in the service of the Lord. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Titus chapter 3, verse number 8. This is a faithful saying. There's that expression again. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou confirm. I'm just going to tinker a little bit. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou confirm faithfully, that they which have believed in God might be faithful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable. This is a faithful saying, that being faithful, being a faithful man, being a faithful woman, being a faithful child, being a faithful young person, being a faithful church is profitable. It's good. It's glorifying to God. Though it matters not how many years pass or how many years come and go, but God is pleased with faithfulness. God is pleased with faithfulness. Book of Revelation, chapter 2. To the church at Smyrna, Revelation, chapter 2. The Lord Himself speaks these words to this church. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Notice the last part of verse number 10, the words of Jesus Christ Himself to the church at Smyrna. Be thou faithful. Well, how long, Lord? Be thou faithful unto death. That's how long. Keep on keeping on. Keep on contending. Keep on being reliable. Keep on being steadfast. Keep on being unwavering. Keep on being unchangeable. Year after year after year. Until your life comes to an end. As we apply it to a church, how long should a church seek to be found faithful? Until the Lord comes for her or the church dies. But the goal is the same. Be faithful unto death. Apply it individually. How long should you as a church member, be found faithful, reliable, steadfast, unwavering, unchanging? How long should you as a church member keep on keeping on? Keep on contending. Keep on proving yourself faithful unto death, whatever that application could be. The Lord promises, and I will give thee a crown of life. A crown of life. Now, I don't refuse that crown of life is a literal crown. But I think there's something more to be seen than just the Lord's promise of a physical or literal crown. What's that crown represent? Be thou faithful unto death. Be faithful until you die. Be faithful till the church dies. Be faithful as a church member until your life is over or the Lord comes again. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That means that which signifies victory, that which visualizes glory of a life well lived. You want to stand before the Lord someday and have Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? It's required in a steward that you be found faithful. You want to win a crown of life? You want Him to place a crown upon your head and signify that you received honor of Him as being victorious during life? It's not by quitting. It's not by compromising. It's not by going by the sidelines. It's not by changing. But the crown of life is promised to those that are faithful. I want to reread our text from Proverbs. Chapter 28, verse 18 through, let us read verse 20. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall be bound with blessings. And I'll just stop there. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. To be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, unwavering. Faithfulness, being faithful, is one of God's attributes. God is perfectly faithful. Faithfulness is defined as the quality of being loyal and reliable, consistent and continuing. And the glory of a church is found in her continuing faithful. The glory in a marriage is by those two spouses that are part of that marriage vow remaining faithful one to another. No matter how many years come and go, you just keep on keeping on. You just keep on getting the job done. You keep on coming home at night. You keep on loving and cherishing one another. A faithful child is one who keeps on keeping on. We're to commit those truths and those convictions and those teachings of God's Word that a church believes and stands for to those who have proven themselves. We're always being tested. We're always being tried. We're always being proven. This is a faithful saying that we ought to maintain good works. This is good and profitable. And Jesus Christ Himself said to the church at Smyrna, and I believe He says to Faith Baptist Church of Wauseon, Ohio, and every member of Faith Baptist Church, and anybody here who names Christ who may not be a member of Faith Baptist Church, be faithful unto death. You're not there yet. Obviously, you're alive and present. Are you faithful? can it be declared you're faithful, unwavering, unaltering, unchanging, keeping on, be faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. The faithful man shall be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? God will bless you if you're a faithful person. Let's stand together.